Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I want to welcome you to our national prayer call. This past 14 weeks have been about the courtrooms of heaven and about getting our bloodline, our legacy, our inheritance cleaned up, that we could partake of the promises of God and that which He wants and desires to pour out upon you and each and every one that is ears to hear. But it takes an effort on our part. We must repent. We must ask Him to show us what are the ancestral curses, what are the bloodline curses. They don't keep you out of heaven, but they can sure cause an awful lot of havoc in your family and keep you from receiving that which God wanted to give to you. And if you go back, which we've been doing, and start breaking the curses and the iniquities off of the bloodline of your family name, both sides, and you go back the generations, God will start showing you things. And then everybody that has the same name that's in that tree, that legacy tree, starts getting blessed, and many of them did not repent, didn't know anything about it. They're just going to get blessed, and you're going to get to be part of that blessing. So I want to encourage everybody. Father Yahweh, you are Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You are our Alpha, our Omega. This is the season when you literally said, you tabernacle with man. You told Moses to build a tabernacle, and you came down and indwell that tabernacle, and people could see your glory. Lord, when the tabernacle was torn down in the time of David, he built the tabernacle and he would literally roll back the tent so people could see the ark and the glory that's shown there. And he had praisers and dancers and musicians 24 hours a day. I don't know how many years, I have to go back and restudy it, Lord, but they were there worshiping you. It's called the Tabernacle of David. And you said that before the end comes, your tabernacle will be restored. And it's being restored around the world. Let us be part of that restoration by cleaning up that which needs to be cleaned up. That which needs to be set in place, let us set it in place. And let us be part of those that go forward in thy kingdom to restore not only ourselves and our bloodline, our inheritance, but the nation. And let the nation be set free. Let your glory come. Let it come, let it come, let it come. Let your presence, Lord, your Shekinah, your presence come and rest on everybody on this call now. As they hear what you have given Gene and Dan and John and others, and as we go into prayer this night, Lord, let it be such an outpouring that it's undeniable that your presence is with us. And in that, we shall see and hear and gain an understanding of that which needs to be done, that you'd receive the glory as we press in your precious way, word, and will, in Yeshua's name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Amen.
I want to welcome everybody. I'm going to surrender the call to John Rockwell and Dan Owen. We have a special guest tonight, Gene Hertler. And when you do something, it's not that day that you really notice it. It's the next day, and I'm in the next day. I got a sprained wrist. I'm beat up and bruised and achy and worn out. And the Lord said for me to take a break, so I'm surrendering the call and to these gentlemen and you ladies. And I thank you very much. Before you go, pray for me that I will be a little bit wiser and not try to do things that I used to do. At 65 that I used to do at 25. But I'm still a young man at heart, so I thank everybody for their attendance, and I thank you for your commitment and your prayers. And next week, before this month is out, before October 28th, which is the end of Tabernacles, we're going to finish this series, and we're going to finish it by praying. We're going to be praying for the cities, praying for the state, praying for the nation, asking for God to tabernacle with us in every area of our lives. So I yield and I thank you, and good night and blessings to all.
Thank you, Wade. I don't see Gene Hertler on the call, at least I don't recognize number.
Yes, he's the 608 number, right below Monty.
608, okay. All right, I'll put her name in there. Gene, I'm going to go ahead and yield to you to the next couple of weeks.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me this evening. And it was so much that I'd been able to participate all through these weeks. I've been shut up to the Lord I have had opportunity to listen to some recordings and fellowship with others that would fill me in a bit. And what a beautiful gift the Lord has given in these teachings. And it's really quite amazing how it interweaves with where the Lord has had me for the last 7 months. And the journey is astounding. And I'm here this evening to share a little story of where I've been and what I've been doing for the Lord, and then to share the story of an open vision that he had given to me last night. And it's a word for our nation. So I'm so happy to do that. I bless you and I praise you all. I wonder if, Dan, do you have a suggestion of where I would begin, and even how much can I say on the assignment?
You go ahead and share what's on your heart.
Okay. Okay. Then in that case, I'm just going to believe that it's time that I just tell my story, and the Lord will cover me in it. I have been very discreet, and I have been shut up to the Lord in what I've been doing in this assignment. And I've worked with our leadership and guidance, and it's astounding that the Lord would bring right what I needed at the right time in the assignment by certain individuals. And I really understand the working of the body of Christ, because we're different members to one body, and it's not just one that does the work, it's the body working together. And we're led by the Spirit of God, and that's what I witnessed in this. It's a fascinating story to me on how it came about. And I'll share that last March, our Vice President, Dan Owens, had asked me to write a press release. And I won't go into details on that. I feel I should leave that alone for right now, but I looked at the topic, and I started doing some researching. Before I write, I like to know what I'm writing about and know everything I can about it. So then when I get filled up, then I can pour out with the pen. And I got stunned to a point of being astounded when I spent a whole weekend researching, and I found things that I didn't expect to find, and they're big, and they're so big, I was stuck. I didn't know how to begin writing a press release, and I struggled for hours, and went back to Dan and explain what felt like a dilemma. And I sensed that he recognized something. And I just said to him, this is bigger than that. And we chatted about it, about what I saw, and was probably in the next day or so, he and our Secretary of State, Stewart, called. And I was given a writing assignment, and I was told that I could take my time and that I should write whatever was there and to make sure that I well documented. So I accepted the assignment, and I had no idea where to begin. I was stuck for about a week, and I didn't understand. I checked in with Dan again, and Dan said to me, consider it a brief for the courts of heaven. And that just went through my whole being. And I thought, yeah, okay. So what I did from there is a flow started. And if you rightly understand, you have to have something inside of you. And I write, when I write, if it's something of inspiration, I'm spirit-led. So the Holy Spirit will give it to me, and I'm just his glove. I just move the pen. And I began, and at first I thought I was literally writing a legal brief or a law brief for heaven. And the flow came. And what I did is I thought I was presenting evidence of the, you know, Satan has a people just as God has a people. And I thought I was presenting evidence of things that the sons of Satan have done on earth and making a judicial record so that there would be judgment for those people and their activities. And I knew that I needed to begin with America's beginning. And I knew that early on that the pilgrims, when they came, they were covenanted with God in their Mayflower Compact. And it was a start. And then later came the Puritans, and they had a covenant with God. And they believed that they were to be the city on a hill. And then their generations, you know, went on, and we came forward to the founding fathers and tyranny with the English king. And he was a very wicked man. But there was this divine document, the Declaration of Independence, and learning about the people at that time, the key players, learning about what life was like in these different eras, learning from their own words. So it was astounding to learn how much God is in the inception of our nation. I had homeschooled 20 years ago, and I got the best education, even in kindergarten, to learn that God was in science, God was in math, God was in history, God was in everything. And I learned, that's where I began to learn to love American history. And so we move forward, and I knew that I was to incorporate America's history on record, factual history, and incorporate the spiritual that was going on at the same time in there. So it's an interweaving of things like the Great Awakenings, what various preachers were preaching at the time, and other activities. There's even world history that plays a part, a very large part in here. But the big thing is that it's America's story. And God was in it from the beginning. There's been covenants from the beginning and renewed covenants along the way. And our Declaration of Independence is a very sacred document. And it was a covenant. And it was our country's foundational document. And then when it came up time to make the Constitution, that became another covenant. And I learned that from a great deal of research that the Constitution was based on at least 34% of the Bible, and mostly in the book of Deuteronomy, which is God's book of law. The founders were very studied men, and I'll just fast forward and say that they believed back then that they had a very special purpose. And in fact, the Pilgrims and the Puritans did too. They envisioned themselves just like ancient Israel, and they had covenanted with God, and as long as they kept covenant, there were the blessings. If they broke covenant by disobedience, there would be a suffering of the curses. So all along in history, I see this thread, and watch different players and things happening, and going forward, just say that different segments of history would come together, and there would be an interweaving of the spiritual and other things happening. And when we got into, when we lost this country, as President Geiger would say, the Union was preserved, but the Republic was not, is very true. And I had dug through congressional journals and documents, and I would come across phenomenal things, their own words. And I'll say too that through the months I was working very long hours at this, I had a tremendous compelling, it was like I was just single focused there, and I would work very late hours, and I have a different clock than my beloved husband, David. He gets up about 4 in the morning, and he goes to bed, you know, earlier. But when I would get up in the morning later than him and I'd have a cup, sometimes he would sit with me and he'd be curious about what I'd learned the night before. And I would share, and astoundingly what he would be in his studies. He studied founding fathers and memorized speeches and quotes. And, you know, he'd be in the Word, and it would be precisely where I was at in the writing. And this happened time and time and time again. So I also knew from the beginning of this, the Spirit let me know, the Holy Spirit let me know that first week that I would have to depend on him for guidance all the way through. And he reminded me in my journey with him that I had learned this lesson already, but in this writing assignment, I would just have to use those skills and experiences with him and let him guide me. And I'll admit I was nervous. It was just a new adventure, and he's shown up in phenomenal ways. Sometimes it would be, I would get a call from someone, and they would just be sharing something, and it would come out of their mouths what I knew the Holy Spirit wanted me to write about. So it would fit right where I was. And sometimes I would get kind of stumped or not sure where I was, and I would get a call from Dan, and we'd talk about it, and he would offer a direction. And I would prayerfully contemplate about it, and sure enough, that was the course. And when I finished the draft and submitted it to leadership, it was suggested that I take a look at some links to some information. And I was aware of some of this dark stuff from years ago that I came across, but I felt I should take a sound look at it again, and I did, and I knew that it had to be incorporated in that draft. So what I thought I completed in 3 months there of the first two sections ended up another tree. And I'll also say that where I thought I was writing a legal brief or a law brief for the courts of heaven in the first few months, I then came to perceive that, no, our Father's going to use that on earth. And I then was convinced in my heart that it was a law paper that was going to be used in our de jure courts, that these sons of Satan would be prosecuted for their unlawful deeds and the atrocities that the crimes they've committed against humanity and so forth. And so I would focus that way. And as long as I would focus on heaven and heaven's pursuits, the flow would continue of the Holy Spirit. If I would look in any other manner, the flow would stop. So I knew that was my course. And then in that time, too, when the paper grew to be around 100 pages, I just thought, oh, boy, I don't know if this is going to be acceptable for the court. This is a big paper. And then I heard President Geiger talking on a national call. I think it was a governor's call. And he made mention about it, and he called it a book. And I thought, oh, well, okay, maybe it's supposed to be a book. And so I felt like I had a permission to continue. And I knew I had a long ways to go. So I felt I had a release to carry on. And if I could wind it up and just say that there are several segments, of course, to America's story and bringing it forward to today, I learned the most astounding things. And I saw in the scriptures how the sons of Satan did it. I saw in history what opened the door to give permission for the enemy to come in, and why the curses of disobedience came on America. And I saw in scriptures who the sons of Satan are, and was able to write all those scriptures in there as well to tell the story. Then where I've been trying to finish this thing up, I'm in what I thought I had come to the end, but my husband, when he looked at it, he said, Jean, we need to transition this into the next section, which will be the Republic story and being re-inhabited and what God is doing. And he said, we need to transition this. And I knew in my heart that was right. And the amazing thing is, right at the same time, there were, you know, signs of what the Lord was doing. The scriptures talk about the signs in the heavens, the sun, moon, and stars, and harbingers, and the information was just there for me. I would dig very deeply. I would research everything I could, and my head would get so full that the only outlet I had is if I would write about it. And so I got a lot of that transitional chapter done, but I felt I had to stop. I didn't have the flow, and the fall feast days were coming, and I wanted to observe Rosh Hashanah. I just felt like I needed to pull back and be quiet with the Lord, and I did, and it was wonderful. And I would pray with my husband more, and we would just sit with the Lord, observe him, and knowing that, understanding that with the harbingers, and then right at that time, Rabbi Kahn came out with his latest book called Shemitah, which is an extension of chapter 17 in his book, The Harbinger. And I read through that in that time, and I came to understand, with Rosh Hashanah being the new year on the Hebrew lunar calendar, that we had entered that Shemitah year. And we're in a very special season of time. And what that means is there's some very hard things coming. What the Lord has spoke to me through his word, through the research, through men of God that have told their stories. There's more than Rabbi Kahn, who got the same thing at the same time. And it's just astounding that judgment, let me word it this way, God's punishments for his people are out of mercy. The punishments for his enemies are for justice. And a Shemitah year is a Sabbath in years. And it's when any debt has to be wiped clean. It is, so it affects agriculture, it affects economic, financial, and it's proved all through history that this is indeed the case. And it's proved through history in ancient Israel that that's how God works. And those same patterns have shown up in America. And God has been speaking to America, but most of the nation has not had eyes to see or ears to hear. And I see in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that spiritual things are veiled, and they're veiled to them that are not surrendered to the Lord. And but if the scripture says that if we will turn to him, he will then take back the veil. And boy, when the veil goes back, it can be an awful lot to look at. Repentance is a gift, but we have to turn to him first, and we're in that season. So there's a collapse coming. We know that the Federal Reserve System will collapse. It's a cursed system. God won't use that system in his economics. And but that collapse is so interweaved with our society and in the world. It will be very hard. It will. Many people will not be prepared, and we will see some hard things. And God is calling. He's calling to the nation. He's calling to his church. Even his church has let the world come inside. And I've seen, you folks are probably ahead of me, but understanding the Lord called David and I out of the organized church in 2008. And I didn't understand. We were in leadership. We were very given and did ministry and so forth. But we obeyed. And just say that in the last few years, I learned about the 501c3 and an understanding that our country got hijacked and it's a corporation. And when the churches had that gag order put on them and they became corporations when they filed for that state status, the Holy Spirit wasn't in control anymore. The state was, the government was, and there a dullness has come in to the church. The world has come into the church, and he's calling to his church, and the sons of Satan are working on their one world government and their one world religion, and it's accelerated. We're in a point where it's accelerated now. He's calling out even louder. So having shared all that, and I thank you for bearing with me while I've told my story, and I hope I've relayed fairly well some points about that. Last night, I was with my son, my adult son, and we had a time of endearment where we were able to share hearts. And I felt that I could share with him what I've been busy doing. And he lives in another part of the state. So I had traveled with him, and then we did some traveling together, and where we stayed last evening, he was interested and allowed me to give him an abbreviated summary of what I've been into and what I saw God doing. And my son is more apprised of things out in the world, just, you know, knows what's happening in the world. He knows what's on the TV. I haven't had TV in my home for over 20 years, and so I'm not apprised of how accelerated it's become, but he would tell me things. Even if he would do a video game, he would tell me what the game was about, and I would identify that would be part of the Sons of Satan's plan, and they were brainwashing people. And he understood that. And so he was comprehending what I was telling him about America's history. And he was interested in what I was doing and what I saw God doing in America. And what I've written, I don't believe it's been done before. And while I was explaining to him, I heard come out of my mouth that it was an open vision. And there were some things that I heard myself say, and I thought, oh, I need to write this down. And just before I was sharing with him about this, I had just upgraded in technology and got a new phone. I had an archaic phone before, but I've graduated into an iPhone, and he was showing me some features on there and how to move around in it, and he showed me the camera, and he showed me how to do a selfie, and not that I'll ever do one, but there's also a feature to do a panoramic photograph where it's a real wide view. You kind of scan the room, but it comes up in a long, skinny photo. And so as I was talking, I was saying I was having an open vision, and then I realized I was seeing a panoramic vision of these whole two sections that I wrote on Americans' history. And I saw it all in one picture, and it was very wide. It was panoramic. It was history in sequence. And then I saw where we are now. And we're at the very end. And it's frightful. But this rolling open vision, it was, my mind would be so filled with research and stories and books, and I read several books, many of them from the 1800s out of print by design, articles, and then incorporating in things that other people, you know, others in leadership had brought to me, and that the Holy Spirit would guide me in, and I would have an outlet by writing it down and putting it in historical sequence. All the various factors as a nation, as a people, as a nation in American history, and incorporating and interweaving the spiritual part of it over the last 6.5 months. And now in the 7th month, and realizing there's that number 7, I'm near completion of the history part of it, and I'm polishing it, and I'm bringing it to conclusion. And I'm now stepping back, and I see this panoramic picture, and I realize what I'm seeing is an open vision. And then he gives me this word for the people. And he says he wants the picture to be written down for the people. He wants them to see from his perspective. He's calling to us, and he wants us to come home. He says he loves us. He wants to bless us with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's the purpose for the divine science of politics, which is good government. It's his law, his principles of law for the nation. He wants us to know his name and to love him. He wants to walk amongst us. Turn, repent, return, run to me. I will embrace you. Wipe your tears. Wipe your tears. I will destroy your enemies. As covenanted with me, your enemies are my enemies. Come, come, my people. This is the way. Turn. Let the veil be pulled back. See. See. Come. Rise. Shine. And I thought of that scripture about rise and shine in Isaiah and in Ephesians. And that's it. And I'm and say that when I looked at that panoramic vision and I saw where we are now, and I will back up and say last Thursday's Republic News Network when Chaplain Wade and Bob Burnett taught on Agenda 21, I was aware that it was out there and I knew it was wicked, but I didn't really know anything about it. And I looked at the links they provided in the email announcement. I watched those YouTubes and I listened to them speak. I took a lot of notes. And then since Thursday, Friday and Saturday, I went into heavy research and I found more. I was guided by the Spirit and more. It was more to incorporate and interweave in there. And it's frightful. The sons of Satan have been very organized and they have been methodical in what they've done and how they pulled it off. And I've gone into the presidential executive orders and I've got it in fact in evidence. And when I looked at the panoramic view and I saw where we were, I trembled. And I thought of my children and our children and people caught in bread and circus and having no idea where we are and it's utter destruction. But also because I know him and I know what he's given to me, and the Holy Spirit homeschooled me in the last 6.5 months. I know he's a good God. He's a good dad. And he's calling to us. And he's made the provision of his government. He's organizing it. And the government came on his shoulders. That's only one part of his body. Like Brother Wade said that he believes that there's many more parts than the Republic. There are. The Republic, what's been re-inhabited is the government part of it. It's the shoulders of the body of Christ. But the body of Christ has to come together and stand up. And when the people come together and they stand up, it will raise the shoulders up. It'll be ready to receive the head, which is Jesus, Yeshua. And so I know that Father he's already had us. He's made preparation for his people. He's made preparation for the remnant. He's always had a remnant all through history. I've seen it. And but he's calling to the people. And there is a great shaking coming because the people are so caught in bread and circus and vile things out there that it will take another shaking, like 9/11. It will be a great shaking. it will be probably harder than 9/11. And he wants the people to know the story. He, from his perspective, he wants them to know the truth. It's been taken out of the textbooks in the schools. And he wants to know them to know a larger part of the picture in the story. And he wants them to know that he's right here. All we have to do is turn to him, and he'll pull back the veil and show us what we're on the brink of having happen to us because we're in the curses of disobedience and what we've done. And so we have hope if the people are willing to turn. And the story, it's really a love story. It's our history. And the sons of Satan, the early Americans, they knew who they were. They knew who they were in Christ. They knew who they were as a nation. They identified with ancient Israel. They were God's people. They were in covenant with him. And they knew their identity. They knew that they had a prophetic calling and a national purpose as America. They knew they were to be a light to the rest of the world. They knew they had liberties. They had liberty of conscience and putting their government together. They had liberty for self-government. They knew they had liberties. And as they would walk it out, the rest of the world would be attracted to those liberties. And they would come to the light of Christ. And they would be set free. But we have to know the truth so that we can be set free. And that's what he's doing by telling the story. And we've lost our identity because it's been stolen from us. And he wants us to get our identity back. He wants us to remember who we are as a nation. And he wants us to know that we have a prophetic calling and we have a prophetic destiny. We have a national purpose. And when we know it, then we have a responsibility to respond. So that's where we are. And I thank you for enduring through my story. I yield.
Wow. Thank you, Jean, for that. I know I've myself have seen pieces of what you've been working on. But I just didn't realize that it was quite as detailed as it was. I guess as grave as it was, and as Wade said at the beginning of the call, for us that are believers in Jesus, there's no reason to fear. So I think, but it is sobering. And I think that's the bottom line to that. Appreciate you sharing that with us, Gene. And I understand Vice President Owens has something to add as well, so I'm going to yield to him for now.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Gene. Just a quick note, I will say that I'm going to begin to release through Wade's website. Going to begin to release a chapter at a time of in very short order. It was intended for this week. I'm not sure if that's been done yet, but we had a little snag. If it's not released yet, it will be within the next day or two, the first chapter. And there are a number of chapters. Just be watching and encourage you to read. After last week's call, actually during the call, I had sent Wade and Kevin Butler an email, and then I talked to him the next day. As he was speaking, there was a great anointing on what he was saying. But I saw some things, and he confirmed some of what I saw. The Lord spoke to me. And as you heard, actually it just ties in very well with what Gene just talked about responsibility and the responsibility of the church. And actually, the Lord's been dealing with me over the last few weeks here in this area. I don't know if any of you are familiar with a prophetic speaker. His name is Terry Bennett. I was listening to one of his messages about a week ago, about 3 weeks ago, I apologize. And it stirred me, and I've just been pondering over it, praying over it. And as Chaplain Butler was speaking, and there was such an anointing on what he was saying, I saw a couple of things. One, I didn't tell him, the one, but the one was I saw him pushing a dead elephant. Trying to push a dead elephant. Well, a dead elephant, a man, cannot push a dead elephant. And this was in a spiritual sense. And I think this is probably a microcosm of the church, is when there is anointing. There's there's such a battle in the spiritual realm that we don't realize at times how dead we are spiritually. Well, the Lord was speaking to me, and Gene Hurtler just hit on it about responsibility. We have a responsibility to fight. We have a responsibility to do the work, to do the things that Chaplain Butler has been teaching on, not just for ourselves personally or for our country, for our families. We have a responsibility. We have a duty that God has called us to. And the Lord spoke to me during the call and said, fight or die. And there will be many who, it's the message to the church, fight or die. We are a point of blessing or curse. For those who fight, the blessing will be untold. But those who will not, we would be rolling the dice, so to speak. It wouldn't be very good. The work that God has for us is, Gene was saying here, just we are at the end. We are close. We are close to the kingdom coming into full manifestation. At the same time, the enemy's fighting tooth and nail. We're all called to fight. This is not something we can say, well, so-and-so needs to do this for me, or so-and-so needs to pray this, or he's looking for people. The scripture says, my people who are called by my name. He's looking for one, for his people, for two. He's looking for those, as Gene just said, who will fall on their face, repent. Repent doesn't mean just saying something. Repent means to change. I can only speak for myself. I have to watch. You know, as we've learned about the things that the people, some with evil intent, some just ignorant. But when we learn of the things that people have done, it is very easy to have unforgiveness. Very easy. God will not work through people who are unforgiving. He will not bless unforgiveness. We need to repent of those things. We need to repent of pride. We need to repent of the things that, you know, it's not just for the land. God wants to heal the land, the state, the nation. He wants to heal the cities, all these things. But he's got to start with us first. And I know we've been, Chaplain Butler's been working through these things. I believe as we're preparing, he called this evening, wanted to know, if we could help with the call. The Lord was talking to me, preparing and just trying to prepare what to say, because I felt like the Lord had given me some things, a few things here to say. I don't know how many people are on this call. Don't need to know. That's okay. But if everyone on this call could spend an hour over the next week in real prayer, in real repentance, real fervent prayer, not praying about, what we need, praying forgiveness, praying for true repentance, praying for a repentant heart, crying out to the Lord, not about because I need this or I need that, crying out because we want him more than anything, crying out to him because we want his presence, because we want him and we love him and he loves us, crying out to him if we would do that for an hour a day. I don't believe we would recognize this call next week. He's asking us to seek him. It's the word that he gave to Gene. This is the way. Here you go. Come on right here. He's talking. He's calling for holiness. This isn't just for everyone. This is for me. He wants us to be led by the Holy Spirit. He wants us to seek him with all our heart. You know, I've worked at different things, and I worked at jobs, and, I take, when I have a job to do, I have a great feel, sense of responsibility, and I have worked 24 hours a day, literally. I worked 30 hours straight, 40 hours straight without sleep because the job had to get done. And no one else was going to lead. No one else was going to push. Somebody had to lead by example. You know, it just, for me, I don't want to say been an easy thing, but that's been, we've got to do this. It's got to be done. He's looking for that kind of fervor, that kind of zeal for the kingdom of God, for his kingdom, for his righteousness, for his holiness. As I read about the things that the Apostle Paul did, I don't know of a more zealous person who walked the face of this earth. There may have been some. He met the challenges. He fought the fight. He fought the good fight. And he called prosperity. He called it being prosperous to spend a night and a day in the deep and be bitten by a snake and be beaten and left for dead and all these things. He called that prosperous. It's a far cry from what we call prosperous in America. It's a far cry what we, the church in America, call prosperous. He's calling us to our inheritance, the giftings, as Chaplain Butler has been speaking, the giftings, the presence of the Lord, that's our inheritance, and we're his. And he wants to give us a vision of that. I believe if we will seek the Lord with all of our hearts, we will get the vision of that. It's not up to someone else to do this. For me, it's not up to someone else, for someone else to do this for you. It's up to each one of us personally, each one of us individually, to make the true difference. God is calling us. We're at a point to see the manifestation of the kingdom of God. it's at hand. This is what he's showing Gene. This is what he's showing not just Gene, others. It's here. This is the way. Could you hear the love in the way she gave the message? Could you hear it? Because it was coming, it was right from the Holy Spirit. Could you hear the love coming from the Father? This is the way. Here you go, right here. It's this way. He loves us so much. I am so excited. What an exciting time to be alive at this point in time in history. It's no accident we're here. He's called each and every one to this point. Word also says it's for whosoever will. It's not about my will. It's not about what I want. It's about his will. It's seeing his will and his purpose accomplished. I'm so excited about what Chaplain Butler has been teaching. They are keys. The single key? No, but they are keys to the kingdom. Very important keys. So, John, I'll yield to you. That's what I had on my heart.
Thank you, Dan. I think been listening to everything. I think where we need to start tonight is just praying for repentance for this country. So I'm going to go right into prayer, and I'll let the Spirit lead me in my prayer, who I call on this evening to pray. I think we need to take everything that has been said to heart, because this is a pivotal point, and I've thought, you know, with the blood moons and this week being tabernacles, that, you know, God is going to dwell with us. That's what tabernacles is. And so I thought for several weeks that this is an important week. And again, we all individually don't have answers to everything, but I think us as collective, the Spirit works through each one of us differently. And I'm just glad that both Dan and Gene have had these revelations come to them. And I know Satan and his hordes are really trying to thwart everything that's been going on. And it's definitely evident with Wade having his accident yesterday. It's nothing but Satan trying to take him out. And I know he's had that happen before, but it's the timing of it all. So, dear Lord Jehovah, thank you for giving us this time tonight and being able to come to you, having a direct path to you as we see your vision, see what you have in store for this country if we don't repent, if the church does not get on board with what is going on. I know spending my grandkids this week, kind of a good distraction for me, and I wanted to go visit my grandkids' school, and so I talked about that last night with my son and the two grandkids. Said, well, you can't do that. They have to do a background check on you. It takes a couple of weeks. And I thought, wow, where were the days when my kids' school, but I could just go up and say, I want to spend time with my kids, see what you're teaching. And that was 20 years ago. And talking about things accelerating, it just took me by total shock that I couldn't go visit my grandkids' school. And I think that shows, Lord, that we've come a long way in the wrong direction. And that we need to repent and come back to you with all the sins of this country is committed with the abortion and with the stealing of people's property and with many, many other things that have been done to your people and people as a whole. We need to turn from that and look to you for our guidance and for our direction. And there's still time. You told us there's time, but time is short from what both Gene and Dan have gotten words from you. So and I say all this just to say it's not our will but your will. And we have to submit. And I know the Holy Spirit is speaking for me because I really don't know what to pray. But I know to pray that this country needs repentance. And we need to pray for our leaders in the country that they repent and turn as well. Because where the leaders are going, where their direction is, that's where the country is going. And that's definitely evident in these days. So I'm going to close my part of this prayer tonight and thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice and your blood. And I cover all what I've said and everybody else has said with his blood, because that blood is what washes away the sins that we commit and that this country has committed. And I plead the blood of Jesus on that, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'm going to go ahead and yield to David Pendleton. I know that he has talked with Wade during the week as well, and I know that you always have a good word as well, David, so I'm going to go ahead and give you the floor now.
Hey, everybody going tonight. I hope things are well. One thing during the whole time that Jean was speaking, and she was giving a really good laid out foundation of many things about our country and about things. The one thing that came to me was we have to about identity. And the thing that most people don't quite understand and comprehend is that the church identity fell during the time of Constantine and Opal and the church in the Council of Sinia. The church that was formed from that, by which all churches come from that, is not the church that God recognizes.
Amen.
And so the thing is that the reason that the devil put that in its place was that the original church that came out of the book of Acts was demonstrating power of God by the Spirit and by the demonstration of the manifestation of the kingdom of God because of the covenant of the Messiah. And the reason why that we're in a trouble that we are is because God said, okay, I'm going to let you have your way, and you're going to have this kind of church set up that Constantine did through the Council of Sinia. You want it, you got it. But you're going to have to go, but it's going to bring judgment upon things because you are having to adhere to a system that is a mixture of things. It's not pure. It's not holy. It's not righteous in his sight. Because it's dogma. It is full of laws and stewardship and all these things that are dealing with principle, but not being led by the Spirit. As John, I think, Dan, you were saying, we are supposed to be a people that are led by the Spirit of God. And by when we are led by that Spirit, in obedience to that, the blessing comes. If we don't follow, then we fall behind the curve of where God wants to bless us. And then we have to go back to the last place that he spoke to us that we need to go to. The issue that I keep seeing and that repeats itself is that we always reorganize back to the same covenant of the Church of Sinai. We don't go back to the Book of Acts.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for God to bring everything to blessing, we've got to go back to the Book of Acts. We've got to go back to the first church, not the first church alone, but the first love.
Man.
And that's what he's calling us to come out from and to find out how he wants to do this. Not by what we've been taught by traditions of men that are doctrines of demonic power. And that's what the church is demonic. There's not an ounce of real God there, because you have every demonic power of Jezebel, Ahab, you've got Epsilon, you've got all these, but you've got all these spirits that are there. And we have to get delivered from them, but yet they keep coming back. Why? Because we haven't separated ourselves out from among that system and come into order of God's real word. The word that became flesh said this: Moses came with the law, but Yeshua came with grace and truth. And so we, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We have got to come into an understanding that we've got to come out from that system of legalistic perversion that's been taught the normal way things are done, that have been there for centuries and years. If you go back and you look at the churches that fled for purity certain, and all these churches and all these people that fled from religious persecution, they reformed the same vomit. They regurgitated what they've had from where they came from, and they became that which they fled. And God is saying, I don't want that. I want a system that is led by my Spirit, and to go back to the true identity, you have to go back to the Book of Acts. You've got to go back to the teachings of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You've got to go back, study the book of Galatians, because in Galatians it was dealing with the law of circumcision, but that was not the law of gifts of circumcision. It was the law versus grace, law versus walking by the Spirit. Did you receive the Spirit by the law or by what you believed you heard? Faith comes by hearing, the hearing of God's word, not the written, but the spoken word. And so what we've got to do is that and the heart cry of God has been, come to my Spirit of love, compassion, grace, and strategic walk, understanding, the ability to have your mind renewed to the mind of the Messiah, so that that mind can be in you, so that you can walk by the Spirit and not obtain the things of the lust of the flesh. And the thing is that we've got to get back to that. That's the repentance that he's looking for. Not that we're sorry that we didn't go feed somebody down the street that needed it. That's important. But that we are hearing his Spirit and moving by what his Spirit is saying. Because because Yeshua said this. You want to know how to walk perfect? You do what I've been doing. And this is what I've been doing. I only hear what the Father is speaking, and I speak it. I only show what the Father is showing me, and I show it. I only do what the Father is doing and doing it. It's that simple. When we start to walk like that and the power of God is delivered through this, through us, then people change. We've got to get back to the real identity. That's what his heart cry has been. He's going, my identity is found in my spirit. It is found in intimacy with my Holy Spirit and that interaction between you and me and that revelation that bursts out from that, that brings forth transformation to yourself personally. And when it's poured out into the group, it brings group transformation. That's what his heart's cry is. Not whether we do this or do that or don't do this and don't do that. Because that doesn't get you anywhere. It's good, but it doesn't produce. It's temporal production. God wants eternal production. Fruit producing. And so that's what I'm hearing. And when we do that, we will see God transform this, not just this country alone, but the world. Because when the day of Pentecost came and they were filled with the Spirit, it transformed Jerusalem first. And then inside that city of Jerusalem, at that moment when Peter was speaking, he was speaking to people from different places of the world, and they got saved and transformed. And it changed the world. That's what the threat was back then. The devil saw the threat, and so he diabolically planned what we've been walking in for centuries, for eons, almost. And that's the thing that we can reverse by coming to him and saying, how do we walk every day by hearing what you want us to listen to and speak what you want us to speak to? Show forth the demonstration of what your kingdom is to the world that's around us. Yeshua saw what he was in visual form of the people that he was about to heal and deliver, because then he walked to that path and did exactly precisely that. He knew that he was going to see the woman at the well. He knew he was going to deal with the woman of adultery. He knew he was going to heal the blind man, that he said it was because of his parents. It was because it was going to be a demonstration of the kingdom. It was that purpose that he was made blind so that I can come and do it. And he did this to resurrect Lazarus. He wept, yes, because there was remorse, pain. He lost a friend. But he rose him from the grave because he demonstrated what he knew the Father could do. And he wants to do it through us. But we have to be consumed in that spirit and be able to live and move and breathe and have it in him and be that demonstration. Father God, I pray that you begin to illuminate their minds. Bring the light of the truth of your word, of your spirit, and transform them so that they might hear and understand, but not be dull in hearing. So that they can come alive and be alive and not be encluttered by the things that are diabolical, that have been set up since the Council of Nicaea and Constantine, when he called it the Christian religion when it wasn't, it was a lie. And that's where the church has been living, a lie. And we need to wake up to the reality that we can repent and come to the living God and his grace and his love and his gentleness and the fruits of his Spirit, that it's him can be shown and ministered and loved and appreciated about in us and each other, so that we might know you, really, as it said in John chapter 17, the true living God and Jesus Christ whom you sent, or Yeshua HaMashiach, depending on how you want to deal with it. So, Father, I pray that your love pours out into these people today, tonight, right now, wherever they are, whatever they're doing. Let them be set free, free indeed, to live and to move in your Spirit, so that they may be able to be the agents of reconciliation and freedom to a lost and hurt and dying world. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, David, for that. I knew that you'd be able to speak into what has been going on tonight. And I thank you for those words and teaching as well. We're going to go and just call on a few more people tonight, since it's been kind of a heavy call. So I'm going to call on Connie Schultz. You have a prayer that you want to pray tonight, or do you have some word that the Spirit's been speaking to you that you want to add to our call this evening?
Oh, I don't know. I fell yesterday too.
Oh no.
Sounds like everyone's getting something. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Yeshua,
yeah,
we bring before you.
Do you have something you want to?
Hello.
Yes, you're still on.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you repenting and wanting the true you. We need you, Father. We need your Son. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to walk with you every day, every hour. We need to go to bed when we go to bed to have you in our minds and our hearts. Please come and help us, Lord, in the name of Yeshua.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Connie. Sorry that you've fallen as well. There's something happening, whether it be tonight or whatever. There's just something that's happening. Lord, I want you to get Satan out of the electronics. I'm having some problems with the board tonight, and I need to have it cleared where we can continue. This is a very important call that we're having tonight, and need you to clear that up and cover it with the blood of Jesus, so that we can continue this and that we can break the curses that has fallen on your people, and that we can keep things going this evening. I thank you, Jesus, for that. And it's in his name that I pray. Amen.
Amen.
One of my dear brothers that I got to see for the first time a week or so ago, Dr. Mosley, I know you've been teaching on the laws of life. This is definitely having to do with life tonight to our call.
Brother John, is always a blessing for me to be on the call, and as always, the word that goes forth is anointed and is also very much enlightening. And I'm just blessed to be a part of this call, and was just so very pleased to be in your company a week or so ago, and certainly with Chaplain Wade. And, brother, you are a blessing to not only to me, you and Chaplain Wade, but you're a blessing to many. And I just thank you for allowing me to be a part of what you're doing here.
Do you have something that you want to pray this evening?
Nothing to add, brother, but thank you so very much.
We'll go right ahead.
Father Yahweh, we just come to you right now in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Yeshua. And dear God, we just thank you for this another day. We thank you for this call. We just thank you for the freedom and the privilege to be able to come together in prayerful agreement to discuss those things that you have laid on our heart, and also to lift them up by way of petition to you. And dear God, we just thank you for it. We give you honor, glory, and praise. I just lift up everyone on this call, those who share it this evening, those who are listening. And Father, we just ask that we would be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. And Father, we just ask for your grace and your mercy in order to operate as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Yeshua, instructed us in the Sermon on the Mount. He said to us in so many instances in that sermon that you have heard it said, but I say unto you. And dear God, we just want to be obedient to that which you say, which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Yeshua, said to us, that now these are the principles, these are the laws of the kingdom, but they're based on grace. They're based on the grace that comes forth, that unmerited favor. So, dear Father, we just receive that grace right now in the name of Jesus. We walk in it, we appropriate it for our lives, and we are very careful to give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Mosley. Always good to hear your voice. Voices soothe me, and you've got one of those that does that for me. So you get picked on just because you've got some good words.
So it's my pleasure to participate.
Yes, yes. I know there are many, many other people on the call tonight. But since it's been kind of a heavy thing that we've been dealing with tonight, I just feel the Spirit saying we need to close and pray for Wade. And I'm going to call on Ken Schenkel to close this tonight, because you always have some good, profound things to say as well. Would you mind doing that for us tonight, Ken, praying for Wade and closing this out, the call this evening?
Not at all, brother. Not at all. You unmuted me, right?
Yes, you're good to go.
All right. Father God, we come before your courts with praise and thanksgiving. Why? Because you instruct us to enter your courts with praise and thanksgiving. And we thank you, Lord, for watching over Wade and having your hand over him, your spirit around him, and a hedge of angels. And, Lord, we just are here to do one thing, and that's to glorify your name. Now, you have called us your people, and you have identified yourself as our God. And the only thing that we have to do is recognize that, yes, indeed, you are our God. And you are the only God that there is, and that you are our King. And that there is none other before us. It's just so simple to continue to return to you in all things and to recognize you, Lord, for that which you are. And you sent your Son to give us instruction, to be there for assistance, and you know, bless us in every way, shape, and form that we can. And history just has it that, you know, we want a leader. We want somebody up here, you know, that can give us away. But you're our God. And it's just that simple. Help us, Lord, to continue to move forward, to recognize that we need to continue to cleanse ourselves and recognize that we don't need to fall and succumb to the guilt of falling short, because each and every one of us have fallen short. And we've learned about the generational sins, and it just continues to blow me away every time that you know, I come before you on a daily basis. It's like there's another generational sin here, you know. And I wasn't responsible for it, but then I did play my part in all this, and that I am accountable for. And, Lord, I thank you for opening up my heart and my eyes to recognize accountability and repentance, and to coming around and dedicating myself daily to you once again, because you are my God, and I am your people, and it's by your choice, not by mine. And you just love each and every one of us so much. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the love and the understanding and the compassion and the gratitude to move on, so that your kingdom is going to be restored once again. That's what this season is all about. That's what being released from bondage to being in captivity for such a long, long time. And now you're once again living the life of the kingdom, of your kingdom, and we're looking for your will and the power to carry that out, and only that. And for thy glory, we give you all glory in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Ah, bless you, Lord. Thank you.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Ken. Always good to hear your voice as well. Appreciate everybody that had input tonight. And please keep Wade in your prayers as he's healing, and I guess Connie as well, since she took a fall. Who knows? There might be a lot of other people that have had something happen as well. So definitely in prayer, and celebrate this week of tabernacles. God's come down. His kingdom is coming down to be with us here. It just seems to be culminating in that regard. So, but anyway, everybody have a blessed week, and hopefully we'll get to hear Wade next week if things are going well with him. If not, we'll continue praising and bringing up prayer to our Lord and Savior Yeshua and our God as well, Jehovah. And if you want to go back and listen to this phone call, it will be on the Republic website in the next couple of days, so you can go back and listen to what was said, because I know there's a lot of things that were talked about this evening that probably, at least I know I need to review them as well. So anyway, everyone, have a blessed week, and I'm going to turn the recording off.